starting on the Hemiptera. We finished the orthopteroids last time. That's where the material for the next exam ends. What I'll start today is material that'll be for the third exam. So starting new material today. And you got my emails. I did get all the audios put up, and I've got all the notes and lectures put up for the Hemipteroids now. So, and I, for you guys, I printed out the handouts for you. So, any questions? All right. Well, let's go after today. We do start a series of lectures on the Hemipteroid orders. This includes the Hemiptera, and we'll talk about it here in a second, but it used to include another order called the Homoptera, but the Homoptera has been rolled in with the Hemiptera. Like I said, I'll talk about that. But it also includes the Socoptera, the Thysanoptera, and the Theraptera. That's the thrips and the bark lice, and then the chewing and sucking lice.
I do have a question. Heteroptera. How does that classification work? Did they break it down to Hemiptera and Homoptera, or just?
We'll talk about that here in just a second. So, actually, maybe now's the time. I think I was going to just do something on the whiteboard. It used to be that we had two orders called the Hemiptera and the Homoptera.
Yeah, this confused me because the reason I keep calling Hemiptera Homoptera is because my professor decided not to go with that and just said Hemiptera and Homoptera.
Well, so. And there are some good ways to tell them apart. Mm-hmm. And so it's a nice split. But again, like everything, there's some groups that are intermediate between the two. And what actually happened is the Homoptera had traditionally been divided into two suborders, the Achenorhynchia and the Sternorhynchia. Well, recent studies show that the Achenorhynchia is actually more closely related to these guys up here in the Hemiptera than they are with the Sternorhynchia. Achenorhynchia is things like leafhoppers and cicadas and things like that, whereas the Sternorhynchia are things like aphids and scales and whiteflies. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of picture that the leaf hoppers and membrasses, the tree hoppers and things, they kind of are more active and seems like they would be, they could be more closely related to what we put in the Hemiptera, and these are more distantly related. Plus, like I said, there's another suborder that contains some rare species that occurred like in southern South America and maybe in Australia and Antarctica, called the Coleorhynchia or the Pearl Oar Deity. And there's been questions which order they go in. They can't seem to decide. I think right now they would put them in the Homoptera. But anyway, this is traditional. We have these two two orders. And because of everything I just said, now they think some of this group is in the Homoptera more closely related to these than they are to over here. So what they've done is they've lumped this all together and still call the whole big order Hemiptera. They still recognize the old Hemiptera, mm-hmm. kind of like a suborder, but now they call that the Heteroptera. Mm-hmm. But then the Homoptera, nobody even calls anything the Homoptera anymore. It's funny, at the national ESA meetings, we have a informal conference all the time on the Heteroptera. So all the Heteropterists get together. And there was actually a woman named Lois O'Brien who worked on Homopteran families, but she'd always come to our thing anyway because it was of interest. And she was all upset when all this was happening. She says, I work on Homoptera, and now there is no Homoptera. Nothing's called Homoptera anymore. But anyway, there's the Coleorhynchia. Akinorinca, and there's the Sternorinca. And as I said, this group, this may have an H in it too, is kind of intermediate. And this, that used to be in the old Homoptera, actually is more closely related to these groups than it is to this one. So that's the reason. This happened, was kind of treated this way for quite some time in the old world. It was us North American workers who resisted change, kind of the old fogies that we wanted to keep recognizing Hemiptera and Homoptera. But now it's Hemiptera, one big order with these suborders. And we'll go through all those. Today, I'm going to do some more introductory stuff, but we'll actually start with the Heteroptera group. And it's actually been divided into 7 infraorders, which I'll mention in a little bit. But they all end with morpha. We don't usually use infraorders too often, but there's the Anicocephalomorpha, the Dipsochoromorpha, Nepomorpha, Geromorpha, the Leptopodomorpha, Simicomorpha, and the Pentamomorpha. I think I remembered all 7. Said we're on my group, I need to remember a lot of this stuff. So, does that seem to make sense? I know it's probably been confusing if you never heard it explained, but...
Okay, so Homoptera was done away with, and then Hemiptera was elevated to order, and...
What?
Heteroptera.
Hemiptera became a whole order. Heteroptera became the suborder that contains...
what used to be up in here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hemiptera was always an order. It was an order, and it's still an order. It's just a bigger order now, including the Homopteran groups into it. We still recognize what was in the old Hemiptera is a nice group, and so we call that the Heteroptera. But now the 3 suborders, or three suborders of the old Homoptera, are still right here. And so Coleorhynchus, like I said, it's kind of intermediate between those old two, and Akinorhynchus seems to be more closely related to up there than... So, oh jeez, things slid off down there. I got your tests. I was going to hand those back when we're at the end here. So,
that makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah. So Homoptera was broken down to the bottom 3, correct?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. These 3 used to be in the old Homoptera, but now they've decided that like I said, the Coleorhynchus, there were some times where people considered it in the Hemiptera, and then some people considered it Homoptera. They couldn't quite tell. We've got specimens of the Coleorhynchus, that Perlord deity. Again, we were looking at those wing coupling devices that I talked about one time. But also, we've been fortunate. We've benefited from Alan Ashworth. You guys know Alan Ashworth? Probably not. Alan Ashworth he's retired now, was a professor in geology. And he may still be coming in half time some of that, but he did a lot. He worked on fossil insects a lot in his geological work, helping with dating and stuff. But he did a lot of work in southern South America and in Antarctica, and became world famous. He's a world-renowned author. In fact, they named a glacier after him. There's the Ashworth Glacier down in Antarctica and that. But he collected, what he'd do is he collected insects from present day, and then he would take these fossils and find insect parts from 10,000, 50,000 years ago sediments, and we would try to match the parts up with present day insects, and And amazingly, they were pretty successful at that. So, but anyway, he brought back a bunch of Perlor Deids and gave to us. So we have some of these intermediates around. So, as always, an interesting story. Back when I was a graduate student, I went to the Smithsonian and worked there for a couple months. And the guy I was working with was building a new cabin in the mountains in West Virginia. And he asked one weekend, he said, "Want to come to my property?" He said, "You can help me work on my cabin." So I helped him work on his cabin one weekend. And he says, "Some other people that work in the museum have cabins already out here." And he said, "Let's go visit one of them. I know they're here." So we went, and it actually was Alan Ashworth. Or no, it was another guy, Bob Gordon, but Alan Ashworth was visiting him, and that's where I met Alan. We were sat and had a beer together in this cabins of West Virginia, and then a year or two later, I came to interview for this job, and during the interview, they took me over to geology to meet these entomologists over there, and I said, "I know you. We just had a beer." You know, just kind of a small world that we had a beer together in mountains of West Virginia. So anyway, back to the Hemiptera. One thing I was going to mention while we were here, back in the old traditional stuff, there were some good characters that seemed to work most of the time. For example, being all the Hemipteroid orders usually, or most of them, have kind of sucking type mouth parts. The ones before this have had, you know, the chewing type mouth parts, and a lot of the holometabolists will be back to chewing again. But these have evolved the sucking type mouth parts. In Hemiptera, in the old Hemiptera groups, are now Heteroptera. The beak kind of comes from the anterior part of the head. Over to the overheads now. That first overhead. But you can see how the beak, you know, here's the back of the head back here, and this is the front of the head. The beak comes out of the front of the head. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the Homoptera, the beak arises more from the back posterior part of the head. So it looks like it's coming out almost from the neck region. And when you get to the Sternorhynchus, it actually looks like the beak arises between the front legs. So even though they both have nice sucking type mouth parts, where they originate on the head is different. Also, the Hemiptera, the name means half wings, or half, yeah, half wings. And most of the species, families of that, you'll see the wing, this front part is all leathery and the distal part is membranous, so it's like half and half. Here's a good view of it, half and half. Whereas in the Homoptera, they're usually more uniform. They don't have this half and half. That's what Homoptera means. Homo means uniform or pure, like homogenized milk has been made pure and uniform. So those are a couple good differences. Another one, there's a tendency, it's not, doesn't hold true for everything, but there's a tendency that the old Hemiptera groups hold their wings more flat over their backs, whereas Homoptera groups, they hold their wings more roof-like over their backs. So again, it's not, there's some exceptions in that. So anyway, there was some good ways to tell the two groups apart. Let's see. This is the Hemiptera, Heteroptera. I mean, Hemiptera meant half wings. Hetero means kind of different. So they're different wings. Again, alluding to the fact that they're not uniform, is where the hetero comes in. Again, these are true bugs. So what we talked about when we write the names down, the bug is separate from you know, like stink bug is two words, is what I'm getting at, rather than like butterfly where it's all one word because they're not really flies. But these are really bugs. In fact, these are, the common name is true bugs. That's what I always say. Everybody else wants to be a true bug. These are the only true bugs. Let's see. I was going to give a, maybe I'll go back to the whiteboard again real quick for this. Give a just a real brief. Like I said, for now, even though this is the new setup, it's still convenient for me to lecture on the Heteroptera and then go into these groups. And so for right now, now we're not worrying about these other groups. We're just going to worry about this Hemiptera. And like I said, so anyway, back to just the Hemiptera. And in old times, this one here, they recognized that there was differences in habitat where things lived. There was aquatic groups and there was terrestrial groups, right? So they named these after those groups. They called a geocorhizae and a hydrocorhizae. So they split the Heteroptera into two basic groups, the terrestrial ones and the aquatic ones. And they have a good difference in, for the most part, in the like the form of the antennae. The geocorhizae, think about things like stink bugs or leaf-footed bugs. But you can see the antennae. They're nice and conspicuous, fairly long and right out there where you can see them. Mm-hmm. Where if you start thinking about your Velostomata that you had, can you see any antennae on that just looking?
Nope.
So the hydrocorhizae have very short antennae that are kind of concealed underneath the head and that. So, and because of that, they came up with names that reflected that difference in antennal character. For example, now the geocorhizae were called the Gymnocerata, just another name. And the hydrocorhizae were called the Cryptocerata. Crypto meaning hidden, so it's got the short antennae that are hidden. And then a little bit later, somebody or some other people came along and said, well, you know, this is a little simplistic. There are terrestrial ones and there are aquatic ones, but there's some that are more like living around water but not in the water. They're kind of intermediate. And so they did come up with another grouping called the Amphibocorhizae. So more, you think amphibian, it could be either way, but it's really kind of more groups that occur around water but not necessarily are in the water. And then after a while they did a lot more studies including genetics and stuff and realized that this was even more too simplistic, didn't really reflect the phylogeny as well as we hoped. And so that's then where they came up with this 7 infraorder.